Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the washing and waxing poetic division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Well, I mean, I read this poem once already, but my brother evidently has an epilogue.
Well, just
for it.
I didn't think it ended correctly, so I thought I'd add a few verses.
But I mean, the thing is 25 pages long. You want me to read the whole thing again?
Evidently.
Why not? I mean, it was good.
Try to do it with a little feeling. You want me to read a page?
Sure, let's take turns. Here, you read the first page. I'll read the next five.
Okay. Oh, okay, I'm done.
Charlie Boyd wrote this. I don't know who Charlie Boyd is, but he's certainly going to get something from us.
He's going to get an award.
He's going to get an award.
I'm sorry.
The title is Objet d'Art.
Objet d'Art. It was an early day in spring. Felt good to be alive. Tommy's son and friends went out for a short spring drive. They chose the Dart, the old Dodge Dart, to take them on their way, and that old car was happy so to be their choice that day. That old car just purred with joy, right, likely, and nearly honked with glee, for old cars have their memories, just like you and me.
Mm.
These days, the Dart was past its prime, torn vinyl, rusted steel. But old cars have a soul inside, they think, and they can feel. The Dart remembered days gone by with its top rolled down, when it gave joy rides in the spring, the envy of the town. Oh, those days were glorious, hot wax and polished chrome. The Dart turned heads at every stop, then took its loved ones home.
Page two. They came upon a traffic light and stopped to rest a spell. The sun shone bright, the air was clear, and all the world seemed well. In front, a local ambulance sat waiting for the light. Behind, a snowplow came up fast, and something wasn't right. The snowplow honked, careened, and veered. Watch out, for goodness sake! Something had gone terribly wrong. The snow plow had no brakes. That's how Tom Lehrer does it. And then the sky turned sickly still as though spring's bubble popped. The bird's sweet singing stuck in air. It seemed like time had stopped. It's hard to say how cars know things. Somehow that old car knew that Tom's son's life was on the line and its choices were so few. And oh, that sound, that awful sound of crushing steel and glass. The Dart took all that snowplow's force, faithful to the last. Who knows where that old car found such strength within its rust? A lesser car would have thrown the towel and crumbled into dust. Perhaps the thought its days were few helped to quell its fears. That brave old car was 36. That's 90 in human years. The universe holds mysteries we can scratch and we can comb. The only thing we really know is Tommy's son came home. Somewhere in the great beyond, the sun is shining bright. The gasoline is plentiful. There is no rust to fight. The pavement's always clean and dry in that land above. And cherished autos gleam and shine, polished by clouds of love. This is really
sickening, isn't it?
Tommy's heart is broken now, and emptiness remains. For in the spot where Dot once sat, there's not but oil stains. Okay, we're coming into the home stretch here.
Oh, yeah.
But Tommy knows there is a place where old dogs and autos go, a place where cars are pampered and once dim light headlights glow. And if ever a car earned winner's lap after its earthly race, that old Dodge Dart deserved to go to that eternal parking space. To which my brother adds...
Well, I mean, with all due respect to Charlie Boyd, he did glorify the Dart quite a bit.
It's poetic license.
But it is poetic license. But I thought, I just wrote a couple... Actually, I can't take credit for this entirely.
Shakespeare?
I collaborated with Ralph Waldo Emerson and Robert Frost.
Want me to lead you in with that, with a repeat of that last stanza?
No, it won't be necessary because it doesn't really
fit. Fine, whatever you say. Okay, go ahead.
At a junkyard out near Concord, where our nation got its start, lay the crumpled, shattered body of what was a proud Dodge Dart.
Oh.
First hours, then days and weeks passed by, the Dart not knowing yet its fate. But then it knew the end was near, when that flatbed passed the gate. Like soldiers, all its rusted mates bid the Dart a fond farewell, for it was making that final journey into the jaws of hell.
Oh, wow.
Then into the auto shredder, With its massive jaws of steel, the dart was slowly lowered. Nothing more than that hour's meal.
Oh, wow.
Its fist-sized pieces loaded on a scow bound for Steeltown, South Korea, where, like a phoenix, it will rise again as a Hyundai or a Kia.
South Korea, huh?
I think so. In a dream, I saw it going to South Korea.
I wonder how long it takes. I mean, it could happen in months.
Right now, it's a fender or a hood of a Kia Sportage.
It could be coming here. It could be on its way back, like, in the middle of June.
Recognize it. You'll buy one of those cars, and the fender will rust right off, and you'll know it was made from your Dodge Dart. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-22-78-255. That's not right, but it's close enough. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys, this is Mark calling from Tulsa.
Hey, Mark, with a K?
Yes, sir. Yes, ends with a K. Guys, I have an 87 Isuzu Trooper 2, the little four-wheel drive thing.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm getting this strange oozing discharge from under my dash that is constantly ending up on my shoes and my socks and my pants and all over the floor.
What color is it?
It's red. The truck is red and the stuff coming out is red.
You have an automatic in this thing?
No, sir. It's a standard.
Well,
red. Red.
Well, it looks red when it's on a sock.
What color is the sock, red?
When I first noticed it on the car mat, I thought, well, what is this? And I tried to wipe it up, and it was like molasses. I was like, what on earth?
Molasses.
Is it smelly?
Well, it almost smells like...
It smells like socks, right?
Smells like three socks.
It smells just like your feet.
Very much so.
No, what does it smell like?
Well, it smells almost like bearing grease.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
What's happening is transmission oil is finding its way up the speedometer cable.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because the seal at the speedometer is run by a cable that is attached at one end to the speedometer, to a gear on the transmission.
And it plugs right into the side of the transmission.
Uh-huh.
And what's happening is the seal at the end where it plugs into the transmission is gone. So as the cable spins, it's kind of conveying that fluid up the sheathing. When it gets to the top, there's no seal up there to stop it from dripping onto your sock.
So now, the object here is to just change the cable, is that
no,
right?
Actually, no, actually, to change the seals. You need to go to a transmission shop.
The cable's fine.
And tell them what's going on, and they'll put there's a new rubber seal that goes in there.
It'll take them 10 minutes, and it'll cost you 10 cents.
It'll take them 10 minutes, and it'll cost you $100. But,
yeah.
But that's what you need.
Well, great.
But you do now have some nice polka dot socks.
Yes, I do. Are you guys interested
in
them?
And if you keep swapping the socks around, you could do all your socks.
Well, that's a good idea. If I could just get, and since I wear those socks that fit on either foot.
Yeah.
Those. Mine still have a big L and R written on them.
Good luck, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That was an easy question. We started off with an easy question. Is that significant?
No. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry.
Where the heck are you?
I'm in Euless, Texas, and this is Kelly.
You're in where, Texas?
Euless.
How do you spell that?
It's like shoeless, but without the S-H.
It's like E-U-L-E-S-S.
Euless, Texas. What part of Texas is that?
It's between Dallas and Fort Worth.
Yeah, we've got a fix on you.
Yeah. So what's up?
I have a 1989 Buick Park Avenue. It was a gift from our parents-in-law 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Since the day we got it and probably before, it does this. All on its own, hot, cold, morning, night, doesn't matter. It goes... You got that? I'm walking out into the garage to stick the kids in the car seat.
And it starts doing the...
And it just starts doing it, like it says, good morning.
I just don't want to set the wrong precedent here. When my in-laws decide to give me a car, I want it to be brand new.
Yeah, that kind of was...
Well, I think it's very sweet of them to have thought of you.
Yeah.
All right, now, what was this thing about the... It does
It's like it converses whenever you see the car. It decides.
Oh, so your premise is that when you're not there, it's not doing this.
No.
Oh, no, it's doing it all the time.
There's no way to know, of course, because of the Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Right, and the tree in the woods theory.
Exactly.
Right. You want to know what the noise is?
I have a feeling it's the fan.
No, it isn't the fan.
It isn't?
No, what it is, it's the auto-leveling thing that this car has. This thing has a pump, and it has sensors which tell the car whether it's level or not. For example, if you were to load up the trunk with suitcases, you know, 500 or 600 pounds of suitcases, or if you would have put 500 pounds of mother-in-law in the back seat.
I was going to say, this is not an appropriate time for the mother-in-law story. She gave her the car.
But if, for example, if you did have 500 pounds of mother-in-law in the back seat, then this thing would kick in, this little pump would kick in, and it would send air pressure to the shock absorbers in the rear and would actually raise up the rear of the car to make it level again.
Okay.
There must be a leak. In the system somehow.
If it loses pressure, then it will think that the car is unbalanced, and it will try to balance it by turning on the pump.
So is this something we should fix?
You could if you chose to, if it was easy to find the leak, or you could just ignore it. But now that you know that it's something benign.
Yeah, but it might be running 24 hours a day for all we know.
Well, when it begins to run 24 hours a day, then you'll find where the leak is.
I'm sorry.
Oh, what's the matter with that guy?
Here's my other problem. I have two kids and a husband that won't buy me a new car.
How old are the kids?
2 and 1.
Oh, brother.
Tell him it's time for the Suburban. Say it for me. Say it.
Oh, it's definitely time.
You mean
for
you don't have a Suburban, Kelly?
And we're from Texas and we don't
and
have a
Suburban.
And you're
from Texas?
Yeah, you
everyone in Texas has
you deserve
one.
A Suburban. I can see you in a Suburban.
Yeah, you're going to need it with those two kids. 2 and 1.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well.
All right, Kelly.
We'd love to stay in chat, but it's getting to get on our nerves.
It's obvious that you're busy.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I agree. The kid says, I want a Suburban. I heard him.
So now every male listening to your program is going to say, I'm so glad I go to work every day.
Oh, yeah. We know that.
See you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, guys.
See
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, who's this?
This is Kathleen from Fayetteville, New York.
Kathleen.
Yes.
With a K, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Fayetteville is in New York?
Well, yeah, one of the many.
One of the many Fayettevilles. That's okay.
It must be near Binghamton.
Well, it's closer to Syracuse.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I've heard about the dog near Binghamton. You
know? Oh, who hasn't?
Oh, who hasn't?
The famous princess.
The famous little, I don't want to
never
say
mind. You have the ASPCA all over you. Anyway, what's up, Kathleen?
Well, I have a puzzler. Mm. It's a problem with cyber driving.
Cyber driving, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're experts on this.
Okay, well, I commute about 59 miles each way to work every day.
My God.
And I get bored. So, and I have a leased car, so I want to cut down on the number of miles I put on my car.
Well, they're going to kill you when you turn in this car.
Yes. And so.
Oof. Unless you can unhook the odometer. Is that what you're calling about?
Yeah.
Oh, you crook. You can't do that.
I was just going to suggest you could be here in a couple of hours and we could do it for you. No, they're going to murder you because you're driving 50,000 miles a year here.
Yeah.
Well, the only solution, obviously, for you is to buy the car at the end of the lease. I mean, it's clear you're going to have to, whatever this car is.
Well, knowing what great intellects you guys are,
yeah,
I thought we could come to a more rational way to approach this.
Well, find out if the odometer goes backwards when you back up. If it does, drive to work and back home.
Well, the drive to work involves a number of S-curves, very serpentine drive.
Oh, so if you were to cut across the S's.
That's it.
How much would you save?
Well, should I go on the inside of the curves?
Oh, you need to do a risk analysis here.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so if I'm going to the northwest.
Yeah.
Got it.
So should I go on the inside of the curves going to the northwest and the outside of curves going to the northeast?
Yeah, that's it.
Or on the inside of all the curves.
No, you're going to have to cut across all the time because you want to approximate a straight line.
Right. Forget,
which, of course,
you know
can't.
That double yellow line that's in the middle of the road?
Pay no attention
to it. Ignore it.
Although
dangerous,
yeah,
it's effective.
Yeah. You can get arrested for it?
You'll get arrested, yeah. But that's all right.
Yeah, it'll cut down on your driving.
You might get killed even. You'll have a bad accident.
No,
that's almost guaranteed.
It's a four-lane road.
It's a four-lane road.
Four-lane road.
No, I mean, whenever possible, you should always try to take the shortest path, and certainly being on the outside of any curve is the longer path.
But you do bring up a more interesting question here, which is anyone who drives 100 miles a day should not be leasing a car.
I know that.
I mean, have you read the small print in your lease agreement, by the way?
Oh, come on, don't burst your balloon. Leave
it
alone.
It's curious because typically the lease allows for something like 12 to 15,000 miles a year.
Yeah.
And you're going to be doing double this.
Yeah.
So when you turn the lease in.
At 37 cents a mile.
You will have about 50,000 extra miles. So you're going to owe them $25,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
so
going to run into money.
That's all right.
Yeah.
No, just buy the car.
So you'll have to buy the car.
I have a nice carpool I can join.
Ah! There's your answer, huh?
Yeah.
There you go. Good luck, Kathleen, and stay on your side of the yellow line.
Okay.
See you later.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break so we can go to the little mechanics room.
We'll be right back. The little mechanics room.
Don't forget to turn your wipers on when you think you see a drop of rain. Don't forget to check your blind spot when you move to another lane. Don't forget to turn your wipers on when you think you see a drop of rain. Don't forget to turn your wipers on when you move to another lane.
And even though mass communications majors get a sudden urge to switch to metallurgy whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle. This one was from the wonderful world of statistics and academia.
I can honestly say I have no recollection whatsoever.
In 10 seconds, you're going to say,
yeah, okay.
A graduate student at one of the institutions of higher learning in our fair city was writing his dissertation on the relationship between uncontrollable outside forces and automobile accidents. He collected thousands and thousands of accident reports from the state of Massachusetts and correlated the time of the accident.
Oh, 15 seconds. I get it now.
With all the other factors like temperature, road conditions, automobile size, age of the driver, alcohol usage, speed limits.
Color of hair, color of car, exactly. All that stuff. Yeah.
After thousands of hours of data input and computer crunching, he discovered an amazing statistic. So amazing that he collected thousands more statistics from neighboring states to see if his findings could possibly be correct. After many more hundreds of hours and 7 more years of grad school, he found the absolute safest...
his father was paying for.
Of course. He found the absolute safest time of the year to drive an automobile on a public highway. So safe, in fact, that not one single accident had occurred.
Really?
Still not able to believe his own conclusions, he returned to collecting more accident reports, this time nationwide.
Postdoc. Yeah.
After many more thousands of hours inputting data and crunching numbers and several more years of grad school, he found that nationwide there had been only a few accidents during this time, but statistically less than 2% of the number of accidents in any other time frame. The question is, what was the safest time of the year to drive on a public highway? And why?
That's really the wrong question, isn't it? Now that I think of it.
Why is
now
it
that I know the answer.
Why is it the wrong question?
The safest time
of
the
year.
Year.
Well.
It's not the safest time of the year.
There is no time.
It's just that his data happened to show it because he was a moron. And all those jerks in academia kept paying for his research because they got no more brains than he had.
Well, I bet it took a long time to
figure out.
I bet
it did.
Because
took us a while.
Because there is a phenomenon that occurs, I think, the second Sunday in March now.
Yeah.
Where we turn our clocks ahead. and it occurs at 2 a.m. On Sunday morning. So if you were a police officer at 2 a.m. when you're supposed to change the clock ahead,
you change
your watch to 3. So it is impossible for an accident to be recorded between 2 and 3 a.m. on that
one
first
day
Sunday.
Year.
And that is indeed the safest time to drive. And, of course, nationwide, there were some accidents when he did the nationwide investigation because there were a couple of states
that don't do
daylight savings time.
Wow.
Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. And quite a little puzzle that was. And congratulations to Doris Bailey from Burlington, Vermont. Isn't that one of my favorite places?
We know.
I know. Everyone I know went to UVM. Everyone. Burlington, Vermont. Anyway, Doris Bailey from UVM and Burlington and all those places, for having your answer selected at random from the trunk full of correct answers that we got this week, you're going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com. And with this $25 gift certificate, you can get a copy of our CD of disrespectful car music, Car Talk cartoons, which you can keep in your car and then use for solace when you're waiting for a tow truck.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzle. Well, I can't really say new. New for most. Coming up in the third half of today's show.
A repurposed puzzler?
Not really. You'll see. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
This is Alyssa from St. Louis.
A-L-Y-S-S-A?
Incredible. No one ever gets that right.
From St. Louis.
St. Louis.
It was just a complete. It was the only way I knew how to spell it, actually.
Alyssa. Alyssa.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alyssa.
Alyssa.
What's up, Alyssa?
Well, I have an extremely stinky Nissan Stanza wagon, and it smells on the inside like raw gasoline.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've taken it to 3 different shops, all of whom have told me there's nothing wrong
with it. I'm going to tell you exactly what it is.
You can?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I'll tell your mechanic how to find the problem.
Okay.
And when he finds it, he'll verify what I... what I'm going to tell you right now, if I can remember.
Is it a big problem? Okay.
He's going to get his emissions tester.
He's going to get his emissions tester out.
Okay.
And when they go around the car with the emissions tester, one of the things that's great at detecting is unburned hydrocarbons.
Unburned hydrocarbons.
And that's what gasoline is.
Which is what gasoline is. It's,
okay.
It's the classic. It's the archetypal unburned hydrocarbon.
Okay.
And when he comes to the area of the filler neck for the gas tank.
Okay, filling deck for gas tank. Okay.
You know where you there's a little door you open.
Right.
And then there's the whatchamahooses, the cover to the gas thing.
They call it gas cap.
Gas, there you go.
Similar to a baseball cap, but smaller.
When he sniffs around there, the needle is going to go bonkers.
Okay.
And what you need is, I believe, and the only reason I suggest this is we've replaced a few of these on Stanza wagons.
Okay.
You need the filler tube, the thing that runs from the gas cap.
Uh-huh.
The thing to which the gas cap attaches and ultimately leads to
the tank.
Oh, so that's all it is?
Maybe. If it isn't that, I don't know what it is.
Oh, okay.
But it's probably that. But even if that isn't it, if you suggest or if you find someone that has an emissions tester, that's the easiest way to sniff out leaks.
Okay.
And it works great. It's much better than your nose.
Well, that was unbelievably simple.
I know it.
Yeah.
We were hoping to prolong it a few more minutes.
Well, I was. I was thinking we'd have a big mystery.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
You want to talk about grass or anything?
Do I want to talk about grass?
No,
I've got a lot of violets in my grass.
Oh, you'll never get rid of them.
I don't want to. I like them.
I hate
all
them.
Right. Do you use cream rinse?
Cream
never mind.
On the grass.
It's an inside joke.
See you, Alyssa.
Thanks for calling, Alyssa.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bada bing, bada bang.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Aloha.
Aloha.
This is Dennis Christensen in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Oh, Dennis.
Oh, gee, you had to say Honolulu. My brother is going to start going into some kind of a trance now.
I palpitate when this happens.
I'm sorry about that.
Now, I'm going to take a wild stab at what the temperature is. 82.
It's 81.
Yeah. See? If you guess 82, you will be within 2 degrees 99.9% of the time, no matter what time of day it is.
All I can say is it's going to be the most boring place on the planet to be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the way we feel about it here.
Yeah, right.
So what's up, Dennis?
Well, I'm hoping you guys can help me here. I've got A strange thing happened the other night. I had this dream.
Yeah.
That, well, I was at home, and the phone rang. Now, this is in the dream.
Yeah.
The phone rang. Guy said, I'm calling about the car. I said, I'm not selling a car. He says, no, I'm selling a car. It's a 1966 Ford Fairlane.
This was in the dream, though?
This is the dream.
This is the dream, yeah.
He's selling a 1966 Ford Fairlane, and I said, well, I don't want a 1966 Ford Fairlane, and I hung up.
Yeah.
And then I had this real strong sense of loss after the phone call, and that was the dream.
Wow.
What year did you graduate from high school?
1971.
71.
So he was a freshman in 66.
And the first car I ever drove was a Corvair. Now, I don't know. I mean, that's the kind of thing I suppose could take.
I don't think I'd tell anyone that.
Well, I mean, you're in the ballpark there. Obviously, something deep in your subconscious has motivated this dream. Something happened in a 66 Fairlane. Whoa.
You weren't driving in 1966, at least not legally.
That's right.
No, but... Yeah. But
did you have a girlfriend in 1966?
Not legally.
No, but don't forget, you wouldn't have a brand new car if you were in high school or college. You'd have a 3 or 4 or 5 year old car.
Not unless you had a rich girlfriend that was a senior.
That's true.
Just trying to get at the facts, you know.
I appreciate that.
I mean, do you have any recollection of a 66 Fairlane anywhere?
I've never owned a Ford.
Never owned a Ford, no.
I've always been kind of a Chevrolet man.
Dennis, I don't think that you can run the risk of not having one. You've got to find one.
No. We've got to before we do that, we've got to put you into deep hypnosis.
Well, we have to put him in deep hypnosis.
We're going to have to bring you in here. we're going to have to go there.
There you go.
We're going to have to make a house call, and we're going to have to put him into hypnosis.
You're going to have to hire us, Dennis,
and we'll
to solve this crisis. Otherwise,
regression.
Otherwise, you will spend your entire life in turmoil. Sleepless nights, cold sweats.
Dennis, this is an awesome dream.
Well, that describes a great deal of my life already.
Either this was an awesome dream, or telemarketing has reached a level of sophistication beyond anything we ever thought.
Yeah.
They call you up while you're sleeping.
Subliminal.
Oh. Subliminal telemarketing. Who would do such a thing? Time Magazine. What?
Anyway, Dennis, I think you have to begin the search tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I don't think you can waste another minute.
No, I don't think you should do a thing until we get there.
Okay.
We have to, before you just run out and get a car, we've got to pursue the origins
of
this.
All right, send the plane tickets.
You send us the tickets, we'll get down there, and we'll get on this case as fast as we can.
I think I can write this off as a medical expense.
I think so.
Of course it's a medical expense. You're sick, man.
Right. Aloha.
Aloha. Waikiki, Waikiki.
So get us a couple of rooms,
the Pink Palace.
And we'll be there. And as soon as we get the tickets, we'll be there.
We'll get it set up for you.
See you, Dennis.
Thanks for calling. This is the most fascinating problem we've had to fool around with for a long time. I can hardly wait to get there.
Me too.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Now what's going to happen
from an academic
when the next person calls up from like frozen tundra, Minnesota?
Tell them to go to hell.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Donna from San Diego.
Donna, we've been looking for you. What's up?
I'm glad you found me because I have a very serious problem.
Yeah?
I think, in fact, it might have an impact on my marriage.
Ah, did you call the right people?
Dr. and
Mrs. Ruth here. Yes?
Well, I hope so. The problem is that about a month ago, I decided that it was time to buy a new car. And I previously owned an 87 Toyota Camry wagon with an automatic transmission, great car for carpooling, I could be the gymnastics driver, perfect car. But I decided that it was time to have an experience in driving, so I decided to buy a Mazda Miata.
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wait a minute, the gymnastics business, do you have kids?
Oh, yes. I have a nine-year-old daughter.
Nine-year-old daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. And a husband.
And a husband.
Got it. All right. Got the picture now.
Okay. Yeah. And what happened was I discussed this with my husband, and he said, sure, you should get a sports car. It's what you really want. And I went through the whole process of finding a buyer for my Camry and working out all the financial arrangements. I even negotiated with the dealership for my Miata, which was a pretty trying experience
yeah.
for a woman. And then when I drove the car home, my husband decided that he should play a very important role in terms of who gets to drive the car and how it's operated.
Yeah. Did he give you stories like this? The breaking in period is very important, Donna. And if you've never broken in a new engine, I better take care of this for you.
I can't believe you said that. That's exactly what my husband said to me.
Ashley, yeah, I think he called us on our private line about 2 months ago.
Yeah, this is the classic ploy. Yeah.
You know what? It's amazing. He told me that he read the manual from cover to cover
yeah,
the first night, and he told me that he should be the one with the to run the car through up to the red stripe zone. That kind of a break.
I love it. You know, I have a.
And you fell for this?
One of my nearest and dearest friends, a guy named Don Chalk, did the very same thing. His wife decided it was time to live it up, and she went out and bought
AMC.
In fact, a Mazda RX-7 convertible, fire engine red. For the first 3 months of ownership, she didn't see the car. He had to do the breaking in. Plus, there might have been a little snow, so maybe if she wasn't as good at driving in snow as he, maybe he ought to drive it to work today, and she can take whatever the hell piece of junk they had, an old Chevy station wagon or something. They went through exactly the same. I mean, this must be a classic problem.
Oh, you know, what is it with men?
What is it with them?
I don't know. I tried to tell him. I said, listen, you know, I think I can read the manual and figure out what needs to be done with this.
Well, I think if you look closely at this situation, it probably has a lot to do with how many girls whistled at him while he was driving this car that first day.
Well,
that may have had something to do with his decision to continue driving it.
How many days beyond 40 is he?
He's 45,
yeah.
As a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, they won't be whistling long. So you'll get the car back sooner or later.
Right. When he finds out that even the Miata's not going to help him, he'll give you back the car.
Right. Has he got the hair club for men yet? He may decide he needs more hair now.
No, but you're absolutely right, Don. I mean, men are such jerks when it comes to this. I mean, to think that an intelligent woman like you would fall for such a lame brain story. You did, though, didn't you?
Well, not exactly. You know, he really tried hard, though. He tried to convince me that he had to be the responsible, conservative one.
Yeah.
Now he has to drive his car for gymnastics, and I'm out driving around in this little sports car.
Oh, so what is his car?
Oh, he has an Isuzu Trooper.
Oh, that's really exciting.
Oh, see?
So,
oh, yeah. What he's really worried about is that someone's going to scoop you, Donna. He's going to see you. People are going to see you driving down the street with the top down in his car. And that's going to be it. He's afraid. This is a measure of his love for you.
You haven't noticed a tan Firebird following you around, have you? Jim Rockford, I think, is probably on this case.
Actually, now, I was wrong. I mean, we're all wrong on this. Your husband is not a jerk. This is a measure of his love for you. He's afraid that you're going to get stolen from him. And so to prevent that from happening, he wants you to drive around in the frumpy trooper, and he'll... It's a rotten job, but somebody's got to do it.
You know, he's right. I apologize. I never met your husband, and I have to apologize. I think my brother's right that right. he's really doing his best for you, Donna. He wants to keep you for himself.
So every time he says, I'll take the Miata today, throw your arms around him, give him a big kiss and say, hun, thanks for loving me this much.
See you, Donna.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Yeah, sure.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Isn't it? I mean, oh, what a tangled web we weave, huh?
Yeah, we sure do. It didn't start out tangled, but it winds up that way. Hey, look, before we get to the new puzzler, and I know you can't wait, we have to take a short break.
Great idea. I mean, it's been minutes since our last break. I mean, minutes!
We'll be right back.
Hands glued to the steering wheel, smack between a ledge straight down and a waltz, bruise as thick as thieves. And as sure as a sharp corner comes, a jackknife kind of creepiness sweeps up and over me. Oh, gasoline, don't leak out on me. 2,000 miles left to go, a brand new name.
And even though Carl Castle sits back and wonders how far he could stretch his Social Security check in Honduras whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yes. And
well,
we're,
when I said this was a new old Puzzler, you're going to remember.
New old stock. Yeah.
This was sent by a guy named John Tomasetti from somewhere out there, some .com place. .com. Anyway, he says, this is a real-life situation. Actually happened to me, et cetera, et cetera. He has a 1982 Jeep CJ7, and it had sticky front brake calipers. So he decided that he was going to rebuild them himself. So he said, I bought the rebuilding kits for both front wheels and proceeded to rebuild the calipers myself. The rebuilding kits included all the necessary O-rings, dust boots, as well as new steel pistons to complete the job.
Ooh.
I proceeded to rebuild both of these front calipers, feeling good that I had no spare parts left over. And I was satisfied that I did the rebuild job correctly, and in fact, my work was flawless. However, he goes on, when I finished the job, I couldn't seem to bleed the brakes properly. The pedal went to the floor as if there were air trapped in the system. I must have bled a gallon of brake fluid through the system to no avail, but there were no leaks. Finally, I take the Jeep to a shop, and using their professional equipment, they bleed them to no avail.
Wow!
Finally, they say, you need a new master cylinder.
Uh-huh.
They what? Replace the master cylinder. 3 times to no avail. They checked the lines. They checked the rear brakes. Everything in perfect condition. They give up.
Wow. No, what? I'm awed.
After 5 days, 3 more master cylinders and many more gallons of brake fluid, he takes the thing to the Jeep dealer.
Yeah.
They bleed the brakes. They put in master cylinders. They do all this. And finally, someone figures it out, and it costs no money to get it fixed.
Yeah.
So what did they do? What did this one brilliant guy notice?
Yeah, as he stood there saying, hey.
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 Hey, jerk. Yeah.
So if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a soft melon or a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com.
Whoa.
If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-CAR-TALK, which is 888-CAR-TALK. Hello, you're on.
That's C-A-R-T-A-L-K.
Hello, you're on. Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
My name is Tamson.
Tamson?
Tamson Nash.
Tamson?
Uh-huh.
I never heard that name in my life.
Well, it's pretty unusual.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Calistoga,
California.
What end?
Calistoga, uh-huh, north of San Francisco.
Calistoga?
Uh-huh.
Where the wagons are made?
No, where the famous water comes from.
Oh, that stuff, yes.
So what's up, Tamson?
Okay, well, I've been waiting 2 years for something to go wrong with one of my cars so I could call you guys.
You're patient.
And it finally happened.
See, okay. I wouldn't have had to wait 2 years.
My husband and I bought a 79 Super Beetle from some friends of ours last summer. And I'm waiting for you to laugh.
No. When you finish, we'll burst into laughter.
Yeah, and okay. Besides, I'm trying to keep track of where all the old hippies go. So Canastoga is one place. All right.
Okay, so we bought this 79 Super Beetle from some friends of ours. And we knew we were getting a good car because they said it was a good car. And because we have all the old records and...
It's 45s or 78s? How old are you, Tamson?
Do you have any Victimone?
Anyway, okay, you got this 79 Super Beetle, which you think is a great car.
Yeah,
but that's questionable because it never was a great car, and I don't know what could have happened to have made it.
What metamorphosis could have taken place, but we'll save that
we'll
for another
reserve.
Show.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, now when we got it, we knew that it had a vibration in the steering.
Yeah, indeed.
But we bought it anyway because we really wanted it. And we thought, well, this doesn't sound like that big of a deal. We think we can get this fixed.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, So these are the things that we've had done to it.
Is this an old contraire piston puss situation
here? Yes, I believe so.
I have this long list. Okay, so we took it to the Volkswagen dealer. And
replaced the ball joint. I'm going to tell you what they replaced. The ball joints, tie rod, and steering damper.
Right.
No, actually none of those things.
Well, that's why they haven't fixed it.
Well, no wonder they haven't fixed it.
That's why it's still vibrating.
What did they do?
Okay, so we had the tires rotated. We had them balanced, first of all. And then we had the front end aligned. And we knew, first of all, we knew that it hadn't been in an accident. That was our first thing that we wanted to check out.
Yeah, that's good.
And then after that, the vibrations were still continuing. This is like between 55 and 60.
You know what tactic these guys are using? They're using something farmers use all the time called slow milking.
Yeah, I think so.
They just keep having you come back for just a little.
Right.
Nothing real big.
Well,
yeah. Nothing to bust the old wallet, but just a little drain every time.
A little $40
when you wake
here,
up in the morning, you find yourself going,
Well, we were working up to something big.
Okay.
Yes.
Because
they're working up to the frame, aren't they?
No.
Well, we worked up to the tie rod.
Oh, that's good. They're getting
so
close.
So I said, that sounds real expensive. That's probably it. So
the probabilities increase in direct proportion to the price. Yes,
so,
I like it.
So we had the tie rod fixed, and that helped. Each thing helped a little bit.
Yeah.
But when we got it home that time, we called them back and we said, hey, this wasn't it. So the service manager got real interested. Our car became their puzzler.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So he said, bring it back in. We're going to find out what's wrong. No charge. We're going to work on this baby until we find out what's wrong.
No charge?
No charge.
No charge for the diagnosis.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Fair.
First of all,
so,
I mean,
he has his special mechanic from Germany working on it, and he's driving it around. The service manager is determined to find out what's wrong.
I mean, wait a minute. This isn't exactly. No, they don't have to call any NASA scientists. And it's got like seven parts in the whole front end.
Is this German mechanic's name Werner von Braun or anything like that?
So what have they suggested?
So they said after moving, finally they deflated the tires. They looked at them on the rim. They moved them a quarter turn. They did all these fancy
enough
things.
With the tires. It's not the tires.
Well, that's what they finally said after all of this was, okay, we think that one of your tires is not quite round.
Good start.
Okay, so we're thinking we suggest new tires. But the bottom line was, Beetle
I'm sorry, did I?
Beetle convertibles just do this. That was the bottom line.
Beetle
convertibles
of course.
Just do this.
Oh, bull.
So that's why I'm calling. I finally said, that's it, honey, to my husband.
Now, I'm going
to
tell you.
We're calling click and collect.
All right. I'm going to tell you, first of all, why they haven't fixed it.
Okay.
Because they don't have anyone there that's old enough. I'm serious.
Oh, okay.
To know these cars. When we were working on these cars, back when Tom was just a...
When I was just a lad.
The characteristics of these, when they had the shaking in the wheel, and it was common in so many of these, was that ball joints, worn ball joints could cause this, and they probably don't even know how to check them.
Okay.
So that would be the first thing I'd suspect, especially in a car that's 111 years old like this one.
All right.
So that's item number one.
Okay.
The second possibility is a worn steering box or a steering box that's out of adjustment.
Worn steering box. Okay.
Yeah. Now, a bad steering damper can cause a vibration in an otherwise marginal front end, but if everything else is tight, if the ball joints and the tie rods are tight and the steering box is satisfactory and it's adjusted correctly, the steering damper won't make it vibrate. When I say vibrate, you have a rapid oscillation of the wheel back and forth, right, when you get at high speed?
Yes, like 18? Between 55 and 60.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they were right to start with the tires. But once they moved all the tires around and turned them upside down and backwards and the vibration was still there, tell them to give up already on the tires. It's not the tires.
But you got to find one of those dope-smoking old hippies that, you know, that looks like George Carlin, that still works on these things.
Okay, so not go back to the Volkswagen dealer. I've got to look for somebody that's been doing this for, like, 25 years, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, and then tell them they'll call them up and tell them what was wrong with it.
The little shop and the whole bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
With the peace signs. You remember those?
I mean, you might have to drive over to Berkeley to do this.
I might.
Yeah, well, it's, that'd be a nice day
if
trip.
That's what you have to do, that's what you have to do.
Okay.
But get it looked at, because if it is a ball joint or a bad steering box, it's really dangerous.
Oh, okay.
So don't delay.
Okay.
And these things are infamous for bad ball joints.
They are. Okay. Yeah. And see, that's not anything they ever mentioned.
Well, if they didn't even mention ball joints, don't go back.
They don't know how to check them. They're checking them incorrectly.
I mean, this guy may be from Germany, but he probably, like, makes cheese or wine or something.
Sauerkraut, beer, anything. But no, he doesn't do Volkswagen.
Yeah, he doesn't know from Volkswagen.
Get it looked at soon. Promise?
Yes, I promise.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for your call.
Well, thanks very much, guys.
Bye bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Dave from Sugarland Falls, Ohio.
Hi, Dave.
I need your advice on our family's summer vacation.
Yeah.
My wife, my three daughters, my mother, and I are planning a trip to go to Ireland to visit some relatives and doing some sightseeing. And we're going to be there for 2 weeks driving around, so I'm going to need to rent a minivan or a minibus to carry all of these people and their luggage. And I'm concerned that I'm going to be driving a relatively large vehicle on unfamiliar, narrow Irish roads, and most importantly, on the left-hand side.
Yeah, you figured that out all right. Five people altogether?
Six.
His mother, his wife, his three kids, and himself.
Three kids.
Don't forget him.
Right, I forgot you, Dave.
Maybe that isn't a bad idea. Maybe you should just stay home.
Well, I hope I get to go along, but what I need your advice is...
You're going to be traveling with five women.
And two of them are teenagers.
Oh!
Oh, they're going to hate you. Well, first of all, they already hate you.
What are you, crazy?
How old are the teenagers?
17 and 15.
Oh!
You might as well just hang yourself now. Oh, are you kidding?
Well, if we stay home, I have to keep teaching the 15-year-old how to drive here, so I figure if we go to Ireland, I'm off the hook for a couple weeks.
Yeah, well, she'll want to practice on the left-hand side of the road.
Well, that's what I need to know. What kind of advice can you give me on how I'm going to adjust to driving on the wrong-hand side of the road? And any ideas on how I could practice that in Ohio before I leave?
Sure, just do it. They might not even notice in Ohio. Well, I tell you, I did it once. And I have to say that, I mean, I used to take frequent, when I was with the CIA, this is between you and me, Dave.
Okay.
I used to take frequent trips to Australia, where, as you know, they do the same crazy thing of driving on the wrong side of the road. And I had been there many, many times and had never had the courage to try it. And one day, one of the guys I was working with, who was an American, but he lived in Australia. In fact, I still remember his name. It was Wes Davis. He offered me his car.
That was stupid.
Because I wanted to go look at some kangaroos hopping at something. And he said, well, take my car and go blah, blah, blah. And he gave me directions.
Mate.
Right. And I tell you, I had maybe 5 miles to drive, and I was terrified every inch of the way. There were cars coming at me, and they were on the wrong side, too, luckily. And so it's very, very disorienting.
And that was as far as you drove 5 miles and then gave up?
I drove 5 miles, and then I had to drive back, and I vowed I would never do that again.
But well, I've never driven, at least that I know of, on the other side of the road.
Oh, well, I know.
Oh.
You may not remember.
But I do remember when I went to Bermuda some years
ago.
Oh,
yeah.
I got off the plane, and I get picked up by, of all things, a taxi cab, which is a Colt Vista. Except that the steering wheel is on the opposite side, because they drive on the wrong side of the road in Bermuda, too.
Yes, they do.
And I knew within 1 minute that I'd be able to do it.
Really?
Yeah. Now, they have the good sense in Bermuda, the Bermudians, that is, to not let foreigners drive. You can't drive in Bermuda.
No, but they'll let you drive mopeds.
Yeah, because you die, you die.
Yeah, it's only you.
They don't want you killing anyone else, but you can't drive a car. But I knew I could do it.
You did?
Yeah, I anticipated the driver's every move, and I felt that I could have just gotten behind the wheel and would have been completely at ease with it. Huh. The only way you're going to know, Dave, is to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And once you get there, if you can't do it, your wife will drive.
Okay.
And If not her, you know your 15-year-old daughter can do anything.
I know. She would drive.
Yeah, she'll figure it out in a minute.
Yeah, because don't forget, teenagers know everything.
Right. And she doesn't have much experience driving on the right, so
that's
on the left.
Right. You know, she might be the best one to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who are you going to visit in Ireland? This is family?
Yeah, family. Going to go visit some cousins and aunts that live up near Belfast.
That'll be great.
Yeah, we're really looking forward.
You're going to have a rollicking good time if you don't drive off the road. So I'm confident you'll be able to do it. And the only piece of advice I would give is drive slowly.
Okay.
Good luck, David.
Okay, thanks.
Keep us posted. In fact, take pictures.
Okay.
Yeah, we may have you featured on our website.
Okay, we will.
See you, David.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion.
That's for sure.
Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Massapequa, Marzipan, Mushroom, and Malamar Marathon, is John Bugsy Loose Lips Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Inovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. And our director of top secret strategy is Donatella Nobody. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our former brake service manager is Carson DeLake.
former brake service manager.
Our liberal arts graduate counselor is Lotta Gooditdin. Our director of Tom's sleeping arrangements is Al Fresco. Our copy editor is Stan Corrected. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian Albin Heard before. Our eBay specialist is Selma Junkoff. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey Chittiman Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the sandals and wool socks crowd in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and remember, Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1416, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, how to turn your old car into something useful.
Are we talking like Chia Pets here?
No. Vehicle donation.
That's right. Donating the car to this station.
Exactly.
Now, the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program is the only place where you can turn, say, a 98 Camry with no hubcaps into an episode of Morning Edition.
Can you turn my 77 Fiat into anything?
Sure, anything but a car. Every day we're turning old cars into the programs that you love. Find out how you can participate right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Ozzy Osbourne bites the antenna off his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.